This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. In this portion of the show, Jane Stern joins us to talk with us this afternoon. She and her husband, Michael, are a couple that the Wall Street Journal calls a cross between Charles Kuralt and Calvin Trillin. They love to travel, and they love to eat. They travel our highways searching for the best down-home food. Bread pudding, cinnamon rolls, burgers, meatloaf, fried chicken, chowder and chops, and pie. As Calvin Trillin's restaurateur father said on his establishment's menu, don't sigh, eat pie. Jane Stern and her husband Michael Stern are the authors of several books on food and the highway. Their latest is Blue Plate Specials and Blue Ribbon Chefs, the heart and soul of America's great roadside restaurants. Jane Stern, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Where did your travels take you for Blue Plate Specials and Blue Ribbon Chefs?
Well, Michael and I have been traveling the blue highways, or the back roads of America, since our first book, which came out in 1973. And I think since we have been on the road for 25 years, there probably is very few small towns that we have not had the opportunity to eat in. And the recipes in this cookbook are from our favorite restaurants in towns like little towns like Mystic, Connecticut, or Greenwood, Mississippi, or Gainesville, Florida. That's a little bit bigger, but little towns around the country where the chefs are often the people who hold the community together.
Hmm. Now, you and Michael started on this trek 25 years ago, more than 25 years ago, 1973. How did this all start?
Well, actually, we've written 27 books altogether, and the first book we wrote was not about food. It was about the life of the long-haul truck driver. Michael and I went to Yale. That's where we met in grad school, and when we graduated, we had degrees in fine arts. And we decided that this was the last thing in the world we wanted to do was to continue to study fine arts. So we wanted to hit the road, and we fell in love with the mystique of the American truck driver. And in following the truckers around, you know, the old myth about if you want to eat somewhere good when you're on the road, follow the truckers. We found in some cases that was absolutely not true, but in other cases it was really, you know, the great little mom-and-pop restaurants. So we decided our second book was called Road Food, which was a compilation of restaurants that we had made notes about all over the country that served Blue Plate specials. So we've really been kind of writing about the same subject for many years now, and Blue Plate Specials and Blue Ribbon Chefs is really about our favorite stories behind the restaurants and some of our favorite recipes.
When you're out on the road, how do you size up a restaurant as you're pulling into the parking lot?
We have many ways of tuning in what Michael calls our road food radar. But I think the easiest thing, and something that certainly your listeners can avail themselves of, is to roll the window down in your car and smell. If you're in a little town like Derby, Connecticut, or Social Circle, Georgia, at 6 a.m., you should be able to smell the homemade biscuits or the pork sausage frying in the small-town cafe on the town square. Follow your nose. If you're not smelling anything, it usually means that the food has arrived through the back door in a box and isn't worth eating. So I think olfactory, radar is probably the surest way to start.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, if you would, about one of the Blue Ribbon chefs that you write about in this book and why he or she is an unforgettable character.
Well, gosh, there are so many of them. I think Ma Groover's Pig and Plate in Valdosta, Georgia comes to mind. One of the wonderful things about this book is Michael and I were able to write about restaurants that no longer exist. And Ma Groover has long since died. But when we met her back in the 1970s, she was a woman in her 80s who was single-handedly running an old-fashioned home-cooking Blue Plate Special cafe. And she never had a menu, but she would have maybe four different entrees on the, of of the day, and she would look at you and by her intuition decide what you should eat. In other words, you were never given a choice. She would tell you what you were. So she pointed at me and she said, "You're chicken and dumplings." And she pointed at Michael and she said, "And you're a big smoked mullet." So this, she kind of just had this intuitive, vibrational way of deciding what people would eat. So she was certainly a character that stuck out in our minds.
Now, the recipes that you've collected from these cooks, those cooks, are they ever reluctant to share a recipe with you?
Very reluctant. And in fact, Michael and I had to kind of break the Rosetta, break the code, you know, it was sort of like finding the Rosetta Stone and, you know, starting from scratch to replicate these recipes. I think the hardest recipes we had to decipher were from the Havana Farmers Inn in Havana, North Dakota, because it is truly a communal restaurant. At one time, Havana was a booming community of 400 people. The population has shrunk to under 100, and the cafe went out of business. So the town banded together, and they all took turns cooking. All the citizens would sign up on a roster, and, you know, Monday was, Mamie's fried chicken with Pete's mashed potatoes and Lucille's banana cream pie, and Tuesday would be Roger's roast beef and so forth and so on. So we had to go to at least 40 different people to find out what the recipes were.
There's a lot of pride in these restaurants, isn't there?
I'm sorry?
There's a lot of pride in these restaurants.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble with the connection. You're breaking up on the telephone. There's tremendous pride because these are not franchise restaurants. Michael and I firmly believe that the notion that America is turning into one big, you know, homogeneous strip mall is really not true if you know where to eat. Restaurants like Jerry's Pizzeria in Middletown, Connecticut, has one specialty, and that is an anchovy pizza. And you can go in there and you ask Jerry to make a pizza without anchovies, and he will literally throw you out of the restaurant. I mean, this is what he makes. This is what he makes the best, and this is his pride and joy. And if you don't like anchovies, then it's unfortunate for you, but you don't belong in that restaurant.
Yeah. There's a woman that you write about in the book who is the owner and cook at Carol's Calico Kitchen, Carol Brown, and she wants it to be known that everything that comes to you at the table has been homemade from scratch.
Oh yes, yeah. She. Well, you know, I think all the chefs really kind of share that. Carol was very, very proud of her Amish chicken, and in particular, and the fact that the mashed potatoes were really made from scratch. But we have, I mean, there are restaurants like, I'm just trying to think, Roseland in Derby, Connecticut, which is a tiny little restaurant where the 75-year-old chef is, or cook, she's really a home cook, whose name is Lena Scarpata, still makes cappellini from scratch every day, grinds the meat that goes into it, and makes these tiny little dumplings in the size of, you know, a lady's fingertip. And, you know, her she's been doing this for 50 years. And the pride in her ability to not just have been a professional chef for 50 years, but in her community, and her husband and her sons and all the town football teams are just plastered all over the walls of this delightful little place.
I'm thinking once again of Calvin Trillin's dad. Don't sigh, eat pie.
Yes.
What's your favorite pie?
My favorite pie is probably the Iowa standard of sour cream raisin pie, and I think the White Way Cafe in Durant, Iowa, has the best sour cream raisin pie. I used to think it was the Norske Nook in Osseo, Wisconsin, but I think the White Way Cafe has overtaken it.
And how's that Frito pie at the Woolworths in Santa Fe?
Well, that's, of course, a very different type of pie.
I know.
Frito pie is a savory pie.
Right.
It's a red chili poured on top of Fritos. And I guess you could use corn chips or Doritos or any other kind of chips, but somehow Fritos make it, you know, taste exactly right. Frito pie, which has since become a popular dish that's served all over the Southwest and even has made its way into some fancy restaurants, was actually invented at the Woolworth's lunch counter at Woolworth's 5 and 10 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And we found the lady who made the original recipe and got the original one from scratch.
Mm. It does my heart good to know that there's a Woolworth's in Santa Fe that is serving Frito pie, because when we think of Santa Fe these days, we, you know, think of upscale and very she-she.
Yeah, somebody told me that Woolworth's is now a Foot Locker, which I hope is not true, and Michael and I are heading down to Santa Fe to check it out. But, you know, that's, again, the beauty of this book is that even restaurants like Ma Groover's, and hopefully, you know, the Woolworth's is still there, but if it isn't, we nabbed the recipe, and we really wrote down the memoirs and the stories of these people for all time. So it's, you know, it may be a fleeting thing, but it's in book form for everyone to share.
Thanks so much, Jane.
You're welcome. It's very nice talking to you.
Happy trails.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jane and Michael Stern are the authors of Blue Plate Specials and Blue Ribbon Chefs, the heart and soul of America's great roadside restaurants.